Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Leslie Gift Show, and I'm hosting her host for tonight, for Nevada, and we have a very interesting guest on show tonight, Mary Stedman. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, Mary is a bookstore owner from South Carolina, and she kind of specialize in rare old slavery books, narratives that hold true eyewitness accounts. Am I right?
That's right. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about that.
I was very interested about our heritage, and under the directions of the Almighty, I decided to put together some true eyewitness accounts of old, very old slavery books to enlighten and educate.
Oh, okay. So these are books you have collected. From what I understand, I looked at your website, and it seems like you've collected a lot of books from various authors, and you sell them.
Yes, actually, they were in the public domain, and just edited them a little bit and published them. Mhm.
Mhm. So, how'd you start that? What gave you that idea? How'd you get into opening up a bookstore and selling these particular books? I guess at your bookstore, you sell different types of books, all kinds of books, right?
Yes. In respect to our president, in this time in history, I thought it was a very good time to put this stuff together to share it with the general public who perhaps did not know a lot about our history.
Mm-hmm. Also, so the marketing thing, or the capitalistic move for you as well, huh? Black president, maybe I should sell some black books, huh? Which means
if you didn't do it,
somebody else would have.
Yes. Well, actually, it goes back a little bit deeper than that. When I was young growing up, I used to ask the question, where did I come from? Why am I here? And I just, you know, did not know a lot about my African history, because growing up in the South, we really wasn't taught a lot about it. And so that's when I became curious. So if I didn't know, there was other people who also didn't know.
Oh, okay. So this is it's a personal mission for you too, the bookstore, particularly with the types of book you sell. Now, there was one particular book. I did look at your website, and there's one book called White Slavery, and it's about white people, a certain class of white people at a particular time in the Boston sweatshops and working in the industries, the textile and industrial plants. And that's a very interesting book to have in the context of the other books, I guess. Are you familiar with that book? You probably didn't get a chance to read it yet.
Most definitely. That's something that I did not know until I actually started editing these books. There were actually white people that were considered slaves, and they were forced to work in the Boston sweatshops, and their living conditions was absolutely horrible, and the children suffered too.
Yeah, one of the things I learned, and I guess that's why that particular book kind of stood out to me, because, again, you got all of these other wonderful books on display, and then that white slavery kind of stick out. And that's important to know. That's an important thing to understand, because a lot of times when you think about slavery, you automatically think black people, particularly in the context of America, you automatically think black people. But actually, you know, white people can, you know, they have a rich history with that particular experience as well. We know that the Irish, for instance, were the first slaves in America, the Irish and the Native Americans, and on and on and on. So that was very, very interesting to see that balance, I guess you could call it. So you're in what part of South Carolina are you in?
I'm actually in a little town called Aiken, South Carolina, and this is my home.
Aiken. Yeah. I'm so glad you didn't give out your address, because people would give off their address. I live at 1314 Wayne Street, not realizing that Jeffrey Dahmer is listening in to you. So I'm glad you didn't do that. So if you're in Aiken, it sounds kind of small and rural. And if it is, then I can understand why you needed to open up a bookstore and talk about this kind of stuff. So tell me about Aiken. What's it like, the demographics? What's going on in Aiken? Am I saying it right, Aiken?
Yes, you're saying it correctly.
Okay.
Here in South Carolina, the part where I'm from, the population is about 79,000 people. And medium range neighborhoods, and, you know, it's kind of quiet, the mom and pop type area, but it's expanding.
Let me ask you this, and this really will, you know, speak to the issue of just how rural it is. Do you have a main street?
Definitely. I mean, we have like the malls and whatnot. Yes.
Yeah. If you got a main street, then y'all are small. Yeah, because I travel around a lot too, and I've been to about, you know, four or five different main streets. And whenever you get into those small towns, that's when you know you're in small town America. You pull up off the freeway, right, entering into the town, and Main Street is right there. You know, what's the racial demographics like? Black, white, probably a lot of black people, huh?
The racial difference is about 60% white and about 40% black.
So what was it like?
Textures and everything.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, how are you, Marie? This is Leslie. I just wanted to ask Marie to speak up a little bit more. We're having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got sort of like a really, really soft voice, and act like you're at home and we're not standing there. You know, act like you're talking to your kids. You know, you're yelling at your kids, and you'll be okay. But I want to talk more about the store, store.
Great.
That's very important. Are there a lot of bookstores in Aiken? In other words, what's significant about your store? Is it because it's a black bookstore, or the kind of books you're selling? What's significant about your bookstore in Aiken?
Well, actually, my bookstore is actually more online, But there are other bookstores at the mall in different places, and the difference is you can go right to my bookstore and order a copy of any book and get an instant download without leaving your home.
Oh, that whole e-book thing, Kindle, mm-hmm. I think, yeah. Oh, okay, great. So how did you open up the store? I mean, where is it located? Tell me a little bit about the area that it's located in. Does it take a lot of money? Do you have to get a bank loan? How does one open up a store, a bookstore?
Well, actually, as I stated earlier, it's more like a bookstore online.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. So that's where I am.
But they still can come into your place of business and order a book from online.
Oh, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Can you tell us just a little bit about how you obtain your books, or do you have to get licenses to sell it? How do you get the material to sell?
Oh, okay, great. That's a great question. I came about this as being a student of history, and what I did was I just simply went and did a lot of studying in the public domains and the Library of Congress, and that's how I obtained the copies that I do have. And I just simply edited a little bit, you know, tweaked them a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's interesting. Do you write as well?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, right now I'm in the midst of writing my autobiography, yes, of my life. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow, that should be interesting. Growing up in South Carolina, probably mm-hmm. during the 60s or 70s, late 60s, 70s kind of thing. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
You probably got a lot to talk about. Have you started to write the book yet?
Oh, yes. I should be finished with it within about 2 months or less. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. Do you have a name for it, something we can look out for?
Well, actually, I have several topics, but I haven't really decided on one. But when I do, I'll post it online because I belong to several online communities.
Okay. It'd be like mm-hmm. the Marie Stedman story, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. It'd probably start off something like, I was born by a river, something like that.
Yeah,
but I got another very important question for me. Being a bookseller and being a writer, and being an African American, of course, mm-hmm. There is something very interesting going on here, and a lot of people are talking about it, particularly other black writers and all over the nation, about the possibility mm-hmm. that perhaps we're in a new literary movement. You know, first you had the Harlem Renaissance, for instance, then the Black Arts Movement, you know, with Baraka and Locke and Hare and Giovanni, et cetera. So what's going on now? Because a lot of people, it's like black people are starting to not just write books, but they're, you know, with the whole self-publishing thing, but they are opening up maybe not bookstores, but they're opening up publishing companies and they're writing their books and they're, like, in the market. And even the major book traditional publishers are starting to take notice of what's going on in the black community at the national level. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think this is a great time to really...
Why? Well, hold on. Well, why? Why is it a great time?
Because now is the appointed time. You know, I've learned to live in the now, you know. The now is the time. You know, yesterday's gone, tomorrow take care of itself. Now is just the time because history is really here, and anybody that really wants to be inspired to live better, do better, share, this is the time.
Okay, great. Yeah, I do. I think that something is happening here. We've even, like, created a new genre, you know, which mm-hmm. happens when we can't enter into the traditional genres, right, like nonfiction and or fiction or whatever. But black writers today have even pushed open the doors to a new genre, the whole urban lit thing and things of that nature. So it's very interesting, and I'm interested as a writer myself on where it's going to go. So what is your opinion about the traditional textbooks? And I'm not. And do you sell them or not? Do you even sell textbook? Can a person come into your store and order like a history book, for instance? You talk about history books, those narratives, and I want to talk more about those two, the context of those slave narratives and where they are coming from. Probably that whole WPA movement during the New Deal with Roosevelt sending people out to the former plantations to talk to former slave people who had been in slavery, and they're telling a story. I think James Baldwin was a part of that. Wright was a part of that. Vernon Hurston did it. But anyway, what's going on with the your opinion about textbooks today and overall educational experience in South Carolina? Because when you think about Southern education, you do think it's inadequate experience. What has your experience been? Besides the fact that you hadn't heard much about slavery, overall, what was your experience?
Well, we have all kind of history about Columbus and how he, you know, his adventures in America. So I just thought it would be good to share a portion of history that has literally been swept under the carpet. And people just didn't know. And if I was curious, and I've done some surveys and whatnot with various people, and they just didn't know. Some people actually said, I'm not from Africa. Okay, basically you're not, but that's where your heritage lies. And it's really be, you know, taken into account. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Does your bookstore sell school books? You know, the kind of textbooks, historical textbooks that schools would use as well?
Not yet, but we will be adding some other books of interest.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we will.
Okay, because now back to those narratives. Those are very interesting, of course, you know, for the obvious reason of historical value. And I have read some of those narratives before, and when I looked on your website, the first impression I got, because they're so pretty and colorful, the Sojourner Truth, the memories of her childhood slavery days, the white slavery, the life of slave Moses Grandy, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
When I first look at them, they look like books that young people would read, you know, colorful books where the pages are colorful, but they're in fact actual authentic slave narratives, correct?
Yes, they are.
I know the one is. The Ellen Craft is famous. William Running 1,000 Miles to Freedom, that's famous. I think I read that years ago, but that, I know that's a very popular one. Sojourner Truth, of course. I visited her gravesite before. It's a very, very nice gravesite. So tell me about this. Linda Brennan is a very popular one, but it's interesting the way they are packaged, encased.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as a matter of fact, that is my touch on those. I edited those covers as well. And the life of slave Moses Grandy, now that's really something. I mean, like I said, I didn't know anything about this until I actually started investigating and, you know, just going back into the past and just finding information. Moses Grandy, he was forced to work in the fields with no shoes on in the cold, you know, the snow. So what he would do, he would actually go out and, you know, rouse up where a hog or an oxen had been laying and warm up his feet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so much stuff in these books, it was just mind-blowing. The movies that Alex Haley came up with, you know what I'm saying, and the Kuna Kinte, that was just a little bit of it. But
of the experience,
Yes, it's really something a whole lot more.
Well, my grandfather talked about those kind of things. He wasn't in slavery. He was actually a sharecropper. But even in sharecropping, you know, which was the new form of slavery, right? He talked about the hardships and, you know, my mom and being down on the Jack Perry plantation and having one particular story, famous story they love to tell because they always want to tell the stories with the most suffering, right? He wrapped his feet up to walk into town and get food. And it was snowing, and he wrapped his feet up in newspaper, and he told us that story often whenever he felt like we were being, quote-unquote, ungrateful. He was like, come here, let me tell you this story when I used to wrap my feet up and walk in the town 4 miles in the blizzard. Sit down. But, those are great stories, and I have read a lot of them. I haven't read them all. But as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, boy, you must really, it's like to me, this whole bookstore experience really springs from your own personal desire to learn more about slavery. And it's like, well, if I could sell a book or two, then that's great, too. But you're on a personal mission as well.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, there's so much that, you know, I really don't know. I mean, your next-door neighbor could be your own relative, and you're not really knowing it. I mean, it's just enlightening. The whole experience has just been, I thank God every day for it.
Are you a church woman?
Using me. Oh, definitely.
You're a religious woman. I think maybe that's where that soft voice comes from, huh? Don't yell too much and, you know, be a virtuous woman. So is your church supporting you at all? What do they think? Because one thing I notice about the church is a lot of churches is they like to, like, they don't like to talk about it. You know, the churches, because in order to deal with that, they have to deal with a whole lot of other stuff. And we won't go into that. We don't even have the time, actually. But what about your local church and other people? Who's supporting this movement, this educational movement with the bookstore and embracing history and et cetera? Who's supporting it in your town?
Okay, in my town, my family is very supportive of what I'm doing. But I have to first give honor to God for, you know, leading me. I feel like He's the one leading me through this mission to simply bring education to people, to help people to be more grateful to where He has brought them from to now.
Mm-hmm.
And He's still doing more. Yeah.
Okay.
And my church, yes, supports me. Yeah.
Okay, so do you have a big church? I mean, do they have a some kind of bookstore? A lot of churches now, especially ones up here in the north, they got bookstores, they got rib, and they got the club, they got bars in the churches, everything, right? They even got ATM. So in your church, is there any kind of facility that would allow you to sell your book at that church? That's the kind of support I'm talking about.
No, actually, it's not supported that way.
Okay.
But, of course,
okay.
They can just, you know, still, you know, shop around, come to me or go to the mall, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell the people out there in internet land where they can get your book. Let's get some websites going on here and the address to your store in Aiken, South Carolina.
Okay. If you will, please visit us at www.daysofslavery.com, and that's an online bookstore, and you just come and join our community and just shop around and, you know, get all the education that you would like to, you know, learn, and just come on over and visit us. Be happy
And the address in Aiken. You can give them that address, not your house address. You can give them the story.
Well, actually, it's all online. It's online. Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Daysofslavery.com.
And I'm actually on that site. I've been there today once, and I've checked it out, and it's very interesting, some very interesting narratives, land of the slave and free, books like Moses and Granny, Linda Brent's story, Good Things to Eat by a Former Slave, which I'm sure is a very interesting book. Maddie Jackson, The Escape from Slavery, The Great Slave Riots of New York, 1712 to 1873. And that, those kind of books are important as well because a lot of people don't realize, especially that whole Southern perspective. I'm not going to pick on you guys too much, but that whole Southern perspective, which some Southern historians would believe that slaves were content and happy in their conditional servitude, but when you read books like these, The Great Slave Rats of New York, it means that black people, particularly in the 18th and 19th century, it means that black people were still fighting, were fighting, trying to be free and all over the place, not just here in what eventually became the Americas, but even on the slave ships, even on the coast of Africa, even in the interior, black people were saying, no, we're not having it. You cannot take my mom into slavery. And that is important to know. And there the difference between, I don't know about now, but if, say 50 years ago, what the Southern historians were writing. Yes.
The Underground Railroad by William Stiles. That is a very interesting book, and I just want to say thanks to all, past and present, white people, black people, everyone that was instrumental in the freeing of slaves and helping them to escape to freedom, to other states, you know, where slavery was abolished. And I just want to say that not all white people own slaves, and that was a good thing. And I just want to just give thanks, because a lot of slave owners actually died poor, and it was just not what people think it is, you know, the 40 acres and a mule. Well, today I have the power of God, and I don't want a mule, and I can buy my own 40 acres. So everybody has that opportunity.
You're right. Everybody didn't. All white people didn't own slaves. All slaves didn't come to America.
That's
we know that now. I think only, depending on who's history book you're reading at any given time over the past 20 years, only 11 to 14% actually came to America. The rest went to the Indies, that whole triangular thing, slave in the slave trade. And so, yeah, those are things to know and appreciate, and those are the kind of facts that we will get in these books that are in your bookstore, right?
Yes.
So what would you say to someone who's trying to, I don't know, I don't want to say start a book store, but a book collector, someone who's trying to get into the art and style of collecting books, or even open up a bookstore? What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, the advice that I could give them is, first of all, if that is your passion and you're led by it, then just see it in your mind, and it will come to you. And also, I'm willing to support anybody that want to get started, and there's no charge for that. It's just simply, you know, one person helping another person, because what you do for other people, God will make happen for you. And you can just shoot me an email, marie@daysofslavery.com, and I'd be happy to help you.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And that email is also at your website, daysofslavery.com.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So I think we got about 3 minutes left here. What about some words of encouragement?
Words of encouragement.
You probably got lots of words of encouragement being a church gal. You probably got lots. You're about to go into testimony right now, aren't you? I feel it.
Not too much. Not too much. But first of all, place God first in your life, and all good things will happen to you. You know, you just have to have a renewing of your mind, and all good successes will come to you. And just have faith in what you're doing.
Okay. Right.
Freedom. Freedom. Oh, freedom over me.
It's been a pleasure as well as a privilege. I thank you so much.
Thank you. I did have one more question, if you can bear it.
Sure.
I got one more question.
Sure.
Out of all of these books, which one is your favorite and why?
The absolute one that is my favorite is The Life of Slave Moses Grandy. And second, you didn't ask me that, but would be The Underground Railroad by William Stiles. And I'll tell you, the things that our great-grandparents went through, they overcame a lot of things. That gives us the strength to overcome as well.
Sure. Why. So what are you, I guess you're making, that's sort of like a comparative comment. To say what we did then as opposed to what we're doing now. Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh,
or you didn't
yes,
split?
Definitely. Definitely. We can't overcome, you know, adversity. As one of my mentors say, you know, if life knocks you down, look up. Because if you can look up, you can get up. So just have to keep going, you know, keep going. The goal is there. You will reach it by faith. You will.
So you don't think we've overcame yet? You think we still need to overcome something?
Well, just living daily lives, you know, some things, you know, it's going to hit you sometimes, but you've got to just draw strength and realize that you too can overcome it with His help.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that last word of encouragement. It's Maurice Stepman from South Carolina. Go to our website, Days of Slavery. I'm Pushing the Batter. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.